inviting even the first set of people down to the second, third, fourth. It was even an act of mercy, an act of grace. Like I said, honorary invitation in the first place. Not that even we deserve, like all of us, like workers in the church, not that we deserve to be called laborers in his vineyard in the first place. But he had invited you and I because his only begotten son died for you and I. And because we are no longer in the era of law, we are now in the era of grace. And that is that grace that you and I are enjoying today, that we can be proud and beat our chest and say, yes, I'm a laborer in the vineyard of the Most High. It was by grace in the first place that they got the invitation. But some of them embraced the invitation. But some of them, they turned down the invitation. Now, from my notes, I noticed that from Romans 9, 15 to 16, just to corroborate what I said earlier, that it's just by his grace, by his mercy in the first place, that the landowner had even found us worthy to be laborers in his vineyard. He says, I will have mercy on those on whom I will have mercy on. I will have compassion on those whom I will have compassion on. So then, it is not of him that even willeth in the first place, like I mentioned, nor of him that even runneth, but of God that showeth you and I mercy. It's by his mercy. And we pray that his mercy upon us will continue to sustain you and I, to keep us from every evil, to keep us from every distractions of this world, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. In the matter of salvation, his grace and mercy are given to those whose self-righteousness works could never obtain it. We are all sinful. We have all fallen short. Abby? We have all fallen short of the grace of the Most High. But despite this, let me point out something briefly. Now, when you look at this now, from verse 7, it says, they say unto him, because no man had hired us, he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Go ye into the vineyard. What have you been doing? So you mean you've not heard of Jesus Christ all this while, and all that? So you've not heard that he's the Savior of the world, he died for you and I so that we can be saved, so that we can inherit that heavenly kingdom, the paradise? No one hired us. Even though they told them, fine, it could be, they told them, but they chose not to go. But fine, they managed this set of people. Now they now manage. Jesus Christ now said unto them, okay, why not just accept? Or one of the brothers now said to them, okay, why not just accept Jesus Christ once and for all as your Lord and personal Savior, so that we can all be laborers in his vineyard together? They now said, okay, no problem. Let me just even try this our God. Let me try this our Jesus Christ. So they did. And it was time for all the categories, all the set of workers now to be remunerated, to be compensated. From verse 8. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them the hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny, the same penny he had promised the first set of workers. Now, here is the point where I'm going. You will agree with me that from this scripture we have read, from this parable now, you will agree with me that those that were saved the first time, even our forefathers that accepted, that died in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who were laborers in the vineyard before you and I today, And all of us that are alive today, that are laborers in the vineyard of God. I'm just making reference to this passage now. And our children and the generations to come, even after we may have even left this world, those of them that will still remain in Christ, do you know that it's just one thing that binds all of us together, that holds, that is in common, that we are all fighting for as laborers in the vineyard of God? And what is that thing that we are all striving for? So he's saying, regardless what this parable I want us to be following now, before we now move to the other one I want us to debate on, that regardless of whether you have been laboring, you know, some, let me bring it back to the church. You know, some, they can tell you, I've been in faith for 40 years, even right before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. We can say that a lot. Even in terms of even status, when we have a lot of affluence, we know we can boast about it and say, "You, I started riding car a long time ago." That is the worldly standard for us. Now, but for the standard of God, judging by this parable and what had transpired among the workers and the landowner, he's saying that regardless of how far you have been born again, regardless of how prayerful you are, regardless of how sinful you used to be, regardless of how soon or how late you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us, it's just one goal that binds us together. And you will all agree with me. As individuals, we have different aspirations. We have different objectives that we want to achieve. Of course, it can never be the same. But as for us, as laborers in the vineyard of God, one thing is very key. It is that eternal life that is the key thing. That's a penny. That's one penny. It is the only key thing, that eternal life that you and I crave for. You will all agree with me. Let me ask you, is that not the whole essence of you and I wanting to live our lives like our Lord Jesus Christ, like wanting to be holy, like wanting to be pure? Is that not the whole essence? Or the whole essence is for some of us to say, I will just live 120 years or 1,000 years and rot in hell? No. Fine. Those four set of workers, they grumble. They say, how come they were murmuring, even though the Bible is against murmuring, right? But we can't go into that now. Now, they were murmuring and saying that how come we, when you look at it from the economic angle, from the business angle of it, they will tell you, the number of hours you have worked is different from the number of you are just coming. It's not even almost impossible, sir, for you to earn the same salary, Abi, or wage, or wages, as someone who has started working since morning. But here is the lesson I want us to learn as laborers in the vineyard of the Most High. We are all striving towards eternal life. You have started the race long enough. Here am I, a sinner who has just accepted Christ, who has just been saved. Mind you, I said before, it's only by even the grace of God that you have been counted to be. Now, they were now murmuring and not murmuring. And mind you, along the line, even those who are now murmuring, as a result, they can now say, I'm out of this Christendom race. Some of them, they get discouraged. They fall by the wayside. Because they now begin to see this brother Kiloruque that just even arrived here. Which day? He has started taking the place of so person in church. Look at, no, it happens. I'm just relating this thing now. You will see that they are kind of related. They now say, look at this sister. When did she arrive here? When did she join the workforce that God has already elevated her to this status? But look at me. We started the church together. Look at me. I had been a prayer warrior since when? can you see the worldly? No, that's the worldly perspective now coming, influencing some of our thoughts. But now this parable is saying that even those that have been under the sun since morning, and me, that God has just saved my soul, just maybe 1 second ago. Yes, just like the two thieves on the cross, right? The two, I think it was Barnabas, right? On the, yeah, was he? No, the other guy was, I can't remember now. Dying minute, right? That he was saved. Of course, he was going to be with our Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, in paradise. That's what he's saying now. Though they may not begin to grumble, that's what even the church of God right now, that is what is facing. You now see crisis as a result of this now, that parable. God, Jesus foresaw, he saw all these things, you understand? Now, I'm just trying to bring the connection, okay? Because they are interwoven, they are interconnected. He foresaw it. And that's why even as laborers in the work, in the vineyard, knowing fully well that it is only one thing that is even, that all of us, we are even longing for. We are not longing for any political power here. Even if you long for political power, or if you want to become pastor, you know, say you want to overthrow someone now today. It's only for the meantime, right? It's only for the meantime. Max, you can even live. We can even maybe 1,000 years, which is not even possible. But Jesus is saying that, why do you have to murmur? In the first place, it was not even by your power. It was because I had mercy on you. It was because you enjoyed my grace to even be called a laborer in my vineyard. So it's an opportunity. So the key word, the key lesson I would want us to take on before I proceed further is that the eternal life is what represents that penny, a penny. That penny is all what we are striving for. I would want us to bury whatever we may be nursing, maybe in our hearts, you know, to say that in church, I've been saved long time ago. Do you know that some today, they become so overconfident in themselves simply because they've been in the faith for so long, and they now begin to look down on you who has just started, and they begin to refer to you as a sinner. The Lord is reminding every one of us today, he only has mercy on those he chooses to have mercy on. You may have been there before me, but it doesn't mean that you may end, or we may even end that a penny. So why grumble in the church as laborers in the vineyard of God? You need to be focused. We need to be focused. We need to be united. Okay? Another point now. Now, the rest of the workers, they receive their wages without complaint or envy of others. That's the point I made earlier. In the same way as Christians, we should rejoice when others, when they come to the Savior. As we should rejoice in the service on others renders to him. You see some people, you know, as laborers, it's not as if you are affecting, let's say I'm an usher or I'm in follow-up thing. It's not as if we are even disturbing one another in the first place. It's saying that we should rejoice. The mere fact that we are even laborers in the household of faith is enough for us to rejoice that we are all working for the same goal. Nothing like boss is in the church. Nothing like boss. At the end of the day, it's the same reward. That's just the key thing. I want us, even if you don't learn anything today, that penny in this parable, it represents that eternal life. That is the key thing. So I think that should form a basis for us as laborers in the vineyard of God, that we are all working towards attaining the same goal. There shouldn't be any room for strife whatsoever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, he is faithful to reward us for our service as he has promised. And now he rewards others. should be of no consequence to us. It should not be our business. Nor should it affect our devotion to Him. It is not. Let's forget about it. It is not. Focus on your penny. Let's move on. Now, when you look at, when you also look at the latter part of the parable, the message in verse 16 from my notes that I jotted down, the last will be the first, which I said that's what we are going to talk. And the first last is that from my own understanding, or from my own understanding, that is that no matter how long or how hard a believer works during his lifetime, the reward of eternal life, like I mentioned before, will be the same given to all of us, no matter how long you work. An eternity of bliss in heaven, in the presence of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our focus. Like I mentioned to you before, I jotted it already. So like I said, the thief on the cross in Luke 23:39-43, whose life of service was limited to a moment of repentance and confession of faith in Christ, received the same reward of eternal life as every other person who had even died in Christ a long time ago. He received the same eternal reward as Apostle Paul, like Prophet Moses and the likes of them. That thief on the cross. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One second, please. Let me see. Okay, now let's move on. Can we just quickly open our Bibles to that, even that Matthew 19, verse 30. It confirms the same thing that I said, that the last shall be the first. It confirms the same thing, but we can just quickly open to it.
Matthew 19, 30. But many who are first... Many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our time is fast spent. Now, I would want us, church, before I now give further my own understanding of that, many that are first shall be last. Church, what can we make of this verse? As is also depicted in Matthew 20, verse 16. What can we make of it? The first, the many that are first. Okay, Pastor, sir. Hallelujah.
I look at this particular verse, Matthew chapter 20, sir. I look at it, as a time when, if we look at the scriptures, when the children, the Israelites, were making it clear, because they felt that whatever space or whatever allocation, if I can use that word, is made available for those that were reign with the Lord at the end of the time, they believe that it's supposed to be meant for them. But it made it clear to them that it was not meant for them alone. And the fact that they can see him getting involved with those who are, bad people, and seeing them turning their life around, they couldn't understand why he was doing that. So I'm trying to take that to what you are saying, sir. You know, we cannot just keep assuming that because we are in the faith, everybody coming has a little understanding of what is going on. like you said, at the end of the day, whether I gave my life to Christ in 2020 or the person was born again in 1801, we are, as long as we are this work, we are heading the same place. And so we need to put that at the back of our mind. It's key. And that is part of what is leaving the church today. We are dividing the church on how many years I've spent and what I've known. And so when someone just walk in or somebody come across, the level at which we look at that person, we'll say, what does this person really know? But when that person then speaks, sometimes some people are caught off guard. I remember we had a case where there was a pastor who did not, this brother just came from Nigeria, joined the church, and the brother was a minister, but he felt that the brother had so much desire to serve. And the pastor felt like, what is wrong with this young man? So he said, okay, you want to serve, Abi? And you say you are part of Prayer Warrior in Nigeria. So he gave him early morning cry, 5:30 to 6, say you should handle it. Because as far as the pastor is concerned, 5:30 to 6 in America, people won't show up. But guess what? When people started seeing the things that were happening, when they go for that prayer meeting in the morning and they return and prayer requests have been made, it was as if the pastor could not figure out what was going on. And you know, the devil is so funny. When the pastor got to that level and he saw that the prayer meeting, he himself will call that people will not come. This brother is calling, it's happening. He now told the brother that it's time to leave the church. That, no, you can't stay here. This, our level of anointing can't work in the same way. So, like you said, sir, we are all heading to one place. What you are striving for is what I should be striving for, and there should not be any issue between us. Everybody should focus on where we are going to. And also to not add to what you said, sir, we should not allow things that are happening along the line to distract us. A lot is happening. A lot is happening. I was sharing with my wife. I don't know, as many of us have heard the story about a full gospel pastor who is a lecturer at University of Lagos. Foursquare, sorry. Yeah. Thank you. Foursquare. Yes. Who you brought somebody to your office and said the person should confess and give his life to Christ. And the person gave his life to Christ. And after that, you went from that, you shift to, do you know that you are so beautiful? I will settle this admission. Just be mine. All this will be said to holding the girl, pressing the girl, and everything was being recorded. So those are the things that we cannot allow to distract us, because we know we are heading to. And again, sir, like this you said, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I would say we need to be careful. Because the person that you think that will not end in heaven might end up in heaven. I think that's why there's a common say, there will be surprises in heaven. Be careful. Because the person you think is going nowhere, you don't know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. God bless you, sir. You mentioned some salient points I've mentioned. Okay, Sister Fukazi. Oh, sorry, Daddy, you raised your hand first. Daddy. Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I saw that you will not give to her.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It is good to hear, to see word of God being, you know, really, you know, what can I say? Explained this way. The way I'm looking at this, if you look at the first statement in the parable, he talked about those laborers that had agreed. He's talking about people who came, but you see, somehow, the way I'm looking at it, reluctant. So he agreed with them. He had agreed with them to pay them penny. Look at the other ones. He never talked about money. What is right, just, I will give to you. We are talking about the end point. If you look at it, at the end, those who he had agreed with penny, he gave them penny. They started murmuring. They said, Oga, someone just came yesterday. He never talked about what he was going to give them. So if you look at it, these are people voluntarily. Mind you, he went and hired the first set who agreed. But others were idle. They have nothing. Those who are in the marketplace, as you have rightly described, they went away because there were so many attacks. You know, what I mean by attacks is that there are so many distractions. These are people, like, you go into the streets there now to talk to people. We'll give you them, give your life to Christ. You know those people you meet and say, no, I don't want to hear it. These are the type of people. He went, you know, and saw those who were idle. Come, go and walk in the vineyard. They didn't want to go. But there are some people, not really, they went into the vineyard. At the end of the day, which you are rightly mentioned, at the end, what did he say? He said, you will receive your reward. Is that not what the word of God tells us? At the end, some people will, you know, will be in the ministry for long. Their intention in being in the ministry is because of the monetary value. And that's what he's talking about. They are in the ministry. They want to be big men. They want their church, you know, they lie, they do a lot of things just to make the church to be filled up. They already received their reward. Oh, Oga, when I agreed with you, you said you agreed on that one penny. At the end of the day, penny is a minute thing. If you look at it from monetary point of view, what is penny? You know? So I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it as, what are those things that you do in the household of faith that are voluntary? So that God can give you the right reward. That, it is, you really, you know, break it down. Now, when I was thinking of this thing, it doesn't mean when you are a big man or a small man or you start yesterday, you rightly mentioned, the people, the two thieves, they didn't know God. It was at that point of death, he said, and God told the one on the right hand, you will be with me in paradise. He never did anything. Those are the last hour. Those are the people. So all we have to do is that we, just like, I think it was my sister who mentioned it in one of these, that we need to humble ourselves. You must be diligent in the work of God. You must be able to put everything in. You know, because your reward, you know, is different from my reward, though. We are going to, at the end of the day, we will be in heaven. Just like our Father in the Lord used to say, how big is your own house? You will be shocked that time at the end, some people will be walking, they won't have a place of abode. That's the reward. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Sister Fukazi.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This Matthew 20 is so rich. There's so much to say. It can take a really long time. But I want to go, you know, there's something you mentioned. You said we need to be focused. And that is what I want to look at. First of all, when it says that the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner, and going through everything that we have looked at, Jesus Christ doesn't want anyone to perish, and he's going to keep coming. He's going to keep going out. He's going to keep searching. He's going to keep using us up until the 11th hour, and that is what I get from this scripture. He's not going to give up until the day he comes. So there are people that are going to be saved at that 11th hour. and people that have been born again since they were 2, 3, 4 years old, 5 years old, they've been coming to church, they just naturally became Christians, you know, or whatever. He's never ever going to give up. Because if you see from this, he went in the morning. He went at the third hour. And the Bible tells us he still went at the 11th hour. Now, there's so many things I want to bring up from here. I'm going to try and be really, really fast. So, as Daddy has already said, he agreed with the first set. The second set, and every other set, he said, whatever is right. We are following Jesus. What are we following him for? Are we following him because there are certain things we know that if I follow God, I'm going to get this? Or are we just following him for no reward? And whatever it is that he sees fit to give us, we are going to take it. Because there are so many Christians these days. There are so many people that became born again. I always say, it's not everybody that became born again because a message of repentance convicted them. There are some that came to the church because they had health problems. There are some that came to the church. Different things brought different people to church. And I'm not saying that it is wrong. If it was because of a health crisis, we are looking for a husband, we are looking for something that brought you to church. But if none of those things were going to exist, if somebody told us that all the material things that we are looking for in this world, no matter how much we follow Christ, we are not going to receive them. And the only thing we are going to receive is heaven. Will that be okay with some of us?
No.
Would that be okay with some of us? But then that's what this parable is telling us. He says, whatever is right. He did not promise them anything. He did not promise them anything. And if you look at it, to be fair, right, as a laborer, I'm sure the laborers themselves at the 11th hour, they do not expect to be paid the same. If they had heard that, I'm sure if they had gone, right, they had gone to the field and they started working and they said, you've been here since. How much is he going to pay you? Say one denarius. The laborer would have calculated and said, okay, if that one is getting one denarius, maybe I'll get, let's say one denarius is like $100. That one would say, okay, maybe I'll get like $20. Because he had already calculated that there's no way this guy is going to pay me. But do you think that those laborers that were left at the 11th hour were the only ones that did not find work that day? Probably not. There were probably others that came and did not see work and they left. But these ones that were idle or that did not get hired, they did not leave. And that is something I want to encourage us on. While we are holding on to Christ, no matter what it is that is going on, don't leave. Because the 11th hour, there are people that have given up on God at the 11th hour of their breakthrough. Because what they are looking for hasn't come. And they're like, you know what? I've been believing God. I've been asking. I've been praying. I've fasted. There's nothing I haven't done. And yet, God, look at this other brother. I see him come to church. I'm here every Tuesday and Thursday. This brother hardly shows up. Every time my name is on the prayer roster, I show up. Most times, these brothers will never even show up to take his position. We think about all those things, and we judge what we see physically. And we say, God, but how come? Look at how well he's doing. Look at his children. Look at his wife. Look at his family. Look at his this. God, why? We are not focused on our own race. The Bible tells us to run with endurance, the race that is set before us. It didn't say the race that is set before everybody. We're supposed to be looking at the race that is set before us. So that is just what I want to encourage us on today, that we need to focus on our own race and believe that God is going to come through for us the way he did for these people at the 11th hour. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Mommy Pastor. Okay, then.
Let me just quickly say this.
So, but please let us be brief because of our time.
What anybody has said. Because of our time. Say that, like we've said, this parable actually opens up to different interpretations and different lessons to be picked. But for me, one thing I want to stress is the fact that when I see this verse, when I see this statement, what comes to mind is, he that is down needs fear no fall. It is those that are actually in the game, that have been in the game, that actually feel like, oh, I'm there, that should actually be on the lookout. And this is you and I. Because even if I'm 1 year old in Christ today, at least in the next 10 years, I'll be saying, oh, I gave my life to Christ 10 years ago. Which means that I would move from this category of being the last. I would have been transferred to the category of the first. And then the risk there is that there is a very high risk that if I do not focus, just as we have all been saying, being the first, you could be the last. So one thing that I think we should need to stress is our focus. One thing that we should, and I think if you look at it, it's very practical. You would observe that new Christians, they are very radical. Why? Because the hunger and the thirst for God is very fresh. But we that we probably think we've been there for some years, we become too familiar, even with scriptures. And I've said it somewhere before that we should not get too familiar to a point whereby we will rush through scriptures. It is possible that I have been reading For God So Loved the World, John 3:16, for the past 10 years. But today, God wants to give me a different revelation. So if I just, you know, glance through it, I won't get that revelation for that day. You know? So the truth is, God comes in diverse ways. Even from a particular verse, you can get different revelation to it. So which also speaks to the fact that we should not become too familiar with God to the point that we'll not, you know, over familiarity is what makes us feel like I've been there. If on a daily basis we wake up with the mindset that I am rededicating myself, the fire should burn afresh, then we will not be at the point where we'll even be remembering that, oh, I was born again 20 years ago. I have other things to say, but I will just keep it at that.
Okay, then.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What I just want to add to what everyone have said, when you look at that, I know you said we should focus on 16. When we look at the verse 7, the Bible recorded that the vineyard, the man, the laborer, the owner of the vineyard, you know, told them that anything that is fit, I will give unto them. What is that in action? Those laborers acted in faith. What did the Bible say faith was? Faith is evidence of sin, not sin, or what others say. They did not, they just heard the man say, what is fit, I will give to you. And they went. They didn't even question. Oh, some of us say, let me know what you want to give me before I leave here. They acted in faith. I want to believe that is why they got the reward of the first timers. So we need to be careful, even as, and I know, like you said, we should go for focus on 16, but the B part of that 16 say, many are called, but few are the chosen one are the ones that walk in faith. Because the Bible says that without faith, you cannot please God. The laborers acted in faith and it pleased the owner of the vineyard, and he was able to equate their labor with the first comers. So please, as we walk in this work that God has called us to, please let us walk in faith, because that is what pleases God. And that is what will get us to where God has planned and prepared for us to reign with him on the last day. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I was studying something today, and it's similar to what we are talking about now. I was studying, aligning to the purpose of God. You know, what I was actually getting from my study was that God is only being limited because we have refused to pay the price. That we have so many churches and we have so many programs does not mean that what God wants to do has been exhausted. And so God keeps searching and is still searching. He's still looking for that man that wants to stand out and pay the price and do what God wants to do. Do you know that in Connecticut here, if there's a man that can stand up and pay the price, what happened in the days of the apostles can happen. The sick will be healed. Mad people will be cured. You know, they will just pass. You know, it's not impossible that our aprons cannot heal the sick these days, but we are not ready to pay the price. So there will never be a time that God will not continue the search. Look, even into the last minute, he still saw people standing and said, you two, go into the vine, go and do some work, and I will still pay you. Because he has not found that man that he's looking for that will be able to exhaust the plans and his purpose that he has here. We still have so many, you know, areas that the gospel of Jesus Christ has not reached. It is the will of the Father that those who are, you know, those who are mental, like more, especially back home, people who are sitting on the road because the devil has really bent them down, they are eating from the dustbin. It is the will of God for them to be healed. And so if there's a man that has paid the price that will just go by faith like that, our sister we read of, and go and pray, and the person will be healed. So God will never stop searching for, and it doesn't matter when he calls you. When he sees the willingness in you, when he sees the readiness, he will see the ability to obey him and do what he wants. It doesn't matter what time, whether you are 70, you are 80, you're about to go at 95, 120, he can still call you into the vineyard. Whether you gave your life when, I don't know, year 2000 or 1111, it doesn't matter. People that are still going to give their lives to Christ in maybe 2050, if Jesus tarries, God will still be searching for a man that will align with his purpose. So the Lord will help us to continue to praise. We cannot stop. We have to continue to praise to perfection, because I want to make myself available for God. So I keep on praising in obedience, in the place of study, because it's knowledge and obedience that will help us. God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our time is far spent, okay? I would have loved to, but let's just end it today. But I will end it on this note, 1 Corinthians 15:58, just to encourage us that therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, it is our prayer that our labor will not be in vain in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Cold now, praise the Lord.